Philippians chapter 2. We have in history, up until now, three different periods in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I use that phrase, the periods of the Lord Jesus Christ, please understand that I am not trying to indicate that Jesus ever started. Jesus never started. He is not one who was created and he began at some point in history. He has always been, as the Father has always been, as the Holy Spirit has always been. He is eternal and has always been and will always be. But in the terms of our lives and the life, the creation of man, up until this point, we have seen three periods in which mankind has looked upon Him, upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have treated Him as they have seen Him. The first period that we see the Lord Jesus Christ is from the beginning in the creation of Adam and Eve, right up until the day He was born. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see how people treated Him, how the world treated Him, and what they did when they came to the realization that this is Jesus, or that this is the one who created all things, what they did. And whenever people saw Jesus, they worshiped Him. Whenever they saw Jesus, they said, I know that that is God, and I'm going to worship Him. On the day that Jesus Christ was born, He was conceived of the Holy Spirit with the Virgin Mary, and He was born. And on that day, the world began to treat Him as they would have treated Him had they seen Him robed in flesh, and they began to treat Him with disdain. They looked at Him and said, that is no man. In fact, they looked at Him and said, that is the least of all men. And the world treated Him so. And so have we. He died and was buried. And still, when people saw Him, when they saw Him, they treated Him with disdain. They spit upon Him. They beat Him. They buried Him. And then He rose from the dead, which begins this next period where when people see Jesus, when they see Jesus, they don't spit. They worship. They fall on their knees and worship. Because we are living in a period of time in which Jesus is not humbling Himself to become a man. He is the God of very God. Though He has flesh, He is glorified, and He is seen as who He is. But today we want to look at that period. We want to look at these periods, and we want to see this period in which He robed Himself in flesh, because it reveals the heart of man. It reveals who we are and how we would treat the God of all creation who gave Himself for us. And so please, please listen today. Because I promise you, God reveals to us our heart towards Him. And it's not all good. Because even if we are saved today, even if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, still we treat Him as that one who was born in a manger and placed in that trough that the animals ate from. We treat him, even if we treat him as an equal, we are treating him in a very sinful way because we are no equal with him. He is God. And he is the one who is able and ought to have the rulership in our life. And so may God help us today as we notice the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we notice the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look there in Philippians chapter 2, the scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Father, we pray today and ask that you would give us new eyes to see. For what we see will be what we, the way in which we react and how we treat you. And Father, Lord Jesus, we do not want to see you as a baby lying in a manger. And we don't want to see you as the one who was rebuked by even his own disciples. And we don't want to see you as the one who was spit upon and made a mockery of. We don't want to see you as the one who is crucified and be like those who mocked at the cross. Father, we want to see your Son as who he is, the glorified God who made us and made all things and did for us what no man would do for us. He gave himself to die for our sins. And we pray today that we would see the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, the light of the world, the one who is the very best, the one in whom we ought to bow to every single day. The one in whom is not our equal, but is superior to us in every way. And where we are offended at such an idea, that there is one who is superior to us in every way, may we humble ourselves that we might have the mind of Christ. And so please, please help us today. For our minds are feeble, and without you we won't get it. We won't understand. We'll just go on our merry way. We'll live our lives as we always have. And we won't see you as the high and lifted up God of all creation, whose glory fills the world. And so please do this, we beg you. May we see our sin and turn from it unto you today. We pray these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice there in verse 5, the scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, when we speak about the mind, what organ are we usually speaking about? The brain, right? I want to ask you this question. Is the mind a product of our brains? No. Did Jesus have a mind before he had a brain? He did. He had a mind before he had a brain, didn't he? There's no doubt about it. Jesus had a brain as he walked the earth as a man. But his mind was in existence. Well, it's always been in existence. And so the mind is not a product of the brain. Let me ask you this. If I were to die right now, where would I go? I'd go to heaven because I'm saved. Now, by the way, I can say with 100% certainty that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Now, why is that? Well, it's because I never sin. I never do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong, and I'll never do anything wrong. Is that right? Well, certainly not. No, certainly not. You can ask anybody that ever been in any way closely acquainted with, and they'll say, well, I remember that time. Pastor did that. That wasn't good. Now, I'm not going to heaven because I'm without sin in myself. It's because Jesus died to take away my sin. And He did. He took it away. I came to the light. He washed me as white as snow. His blood washed me as white as snow. And He can do the same for you if you're not saved. You can leave this place with 100% assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. But if I die, I'm going to heaven. You say, but that's not true, Pastor, because if you were to die right now, I'd see your body on the floor. A few days later, they're going to take that body with your brain and put it in the ground. I want to ask you, am I going to have a mind without my brain? Am I going to have a mind without my brain? Yes. And so our minds don't come from our brains. Our minds do not come from our brains. Our understanding does not come from our brains. We can have understanding of things, and we can have a mind without a brain. And that is most certainly true of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a God who has a mind. God the Father has a mind. He does not have a brain. God the Holy Spirit has a mind. He does not have a brain. And every person who has died, whether they be saved or unsaved, they are without a brain, but they have a mind. Those that are unsaved, they understand where they are. And they know the sense of what it means to be in hell. They know the fire and the darkness, and their senses tell them, I am here. There will be a day that they see Christ. They will bow the knee and they will say, that is Jesus Christ the Lord. But that will not save them, for they had already made their decision to reject Christ, and they will be cast into the lake of fire where they will be tormented forever. Unless, and that's true for all of us, unless we get saved. In which case we will have a mind without a body and know still that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will bow down. We will worship Him. We will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we'll do it with all the joy that we can muster, because we're saved. And so when the Scripture speaks about the mind, understand that it is not, the mind and the brain are not equal. They're not equal. They're not one and the same. For though we speak of our brains as where our mind comes from, we do not need a brain to have a mind. Now, what is our mind? Our mind is the understanding. It is to have an understanding. And I would proclaim to you that though animals have a brain, they do not understand. They do not have the understanding. What makes man different than animals? One of the things is that we have a mind. Not that we have a brain. We have a brain and they have a brain. So that's not it. But that we have a mind. We have the ability to understand. Well, what do we understand? We can understand God. And so the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, is the Bible saying that Jesus had a mind only in the past and he doesn't have a mind today? No, we might look at that and say, well, that's what the Bible is saying because it's using the past tense, right? Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. But that's not what God's trying to say here, right? God's not trying to say that Jesus lost his mind. Jesus' understanding has gone from one understanding when he was here upon the earth to another. What changed? I want you to understand that Jesus Christ is not one to change his mind because he doesn't know what's going to happen. But the mind of Christ does change, and I want you to think about this. When Jesus Christ came and dwelt upon the earth, he came and he dwelt upon the earth. He had this mind. I am a servant. I am coming to take a body upon myself so that these men, this mankind, these sinners from all creation can take me and beat me and kill me so that their sins can be taken upon me. I am a servant unto them. They can spit on me and I will take it. They will take their fists and they will hit me in the face. And they will say, who hit you? As if I don't know. And I will take it. They will question me. Even those who have declared their allegiance and their love for me will rebuke me. And I will take it. Because that was the mind of Christ. But I want you to know, that was the mind of Christ. Because his mind of him being a servant to mankind so that they can beat him and destroy his body to save them has already been done. It is accomplished and it was proven by his resurrection. You see, Jesus, whenever he was seen in the Old Testament, was worshipped. But when he was seen as a man, he hardly ever was. And the only ones that ever worshipped him were the ones who saw through the flesh of Christ to his deity. The story of Christmas is not the story of the flesh of Christ, but the story of the one who robed himself in flesh but was still deity. And the shepherds came and they saw through the flesh and they said, there is God. The wise men came and they saw through the flesh and they said, there is God. Mary and Joseph saw the flesh but saw through it and said, there is God. The angels declared the glory of God. And all that are able and were able to see through the flesh worshiped him as God. Because he is God. He died and people treated him with such disdain while he lived upon the earth. But when he rose from the dead, listen, please don't fall asleep. I turn the heat off. It'll cool down. But listen, all those who see Christ now, they do not see him and say, there's a guy who I'm equal to. When we see Christ, when we see him as he is, we don't say, hey, there's a guy. We say, there is God. And the problem that we struggle with is that we do not see Jesus. The scripture says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we fail to see Jesus, we revert to what we would have been at the cross as Jesus was being crucified. We would mock even as saved people. We become those, listen, we become those who see Jesus not as the greatest that has ever been or ever will be, but we see Him as somewhat our equal. Where we can say, you know what, Jesus, whatever you have to say, that's nice, but you know, I'm a man too. You're a man, I'm a man. And what you have to say is nice. But what I have to say is nice too. What you have to say is good, but listen, isn't what I have to say good? What you have to say is important, but isn't what I have to say equally important? And the reason why we say that is because we see Him as if He is one like us. Because we just see the flesh. That's what people spoke of when they spoke of Christ, when they saw His flesh. You're just a man. That's what they said. They said, you're just a man. What you had to say has no more value than what I have to say. In fact, if I disagree with you, what you have to say has less value than what I have to say. Isn't that the way people treated Jesus? Is that not the way the Pharisees treated Jesus? Is that not the way that Peter treated Jesus when he said, Jesus, you will not go to Jerusalem, and Jesus said, get behind me, Satan? Is that not the way that Martha treated Jesus when she rebuked him and said, Jesus, don't you care? Tell my sister to get up and help me. Can you imagine speaking to Jesus that way? And yet, don't we? And it's because we don't see through the flesh. We see a baby in a manger. We see a man on a cross. We don't see God. And so God is trying to reveal to us in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus is no man like we are. He is fully man and He is fully God. And we must lift Him up. And so notice there. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, Jesus Christ, from the day of the first day of creation until the day that He was born, no matter who saw Him, throughout the Old Testament, they said, there's God. For example, Adam and Eve, they sinned. What did they do? They hid themselves from God. Right? Moses comes to a burning bush. God says, take off your shoes, for the ground in which you walk on is holy ground. And what does Moses do? Did Moses say, oh, there's a man like me. There's one equal to me. No. He took his shoes off. And he did what God told him to do. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They get burned in the fiery furnace, but that not a hair of their head is singed. They didn't come out smelling like smoke. And there, everybody saw a fourth, which I believe was Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They bowed down and said, that was God. That's what the king did. That is God. In fact, he went on to write a letter about God. Daniel, same book, gets thrown in the lion's den. He survives throughout the night, and they say, there's God. Isaiah goes to heaven. He sees God seated upon a throne, high and lifted up. Did he say, oh, God, you know, it's kind of nice to see you. You know, I've got some things going on down here, and I'd like you to get on board with me. Is that what he said? He bowed down before God and said, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips who lives amongst the people of unclean lips. You see, whenever Jesus was seen, they bowed down. But all of a sudden, He's born. You see, He said, being in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I want you to understand, when the Bible is speaking about Jesus being in the form of God, He's not saying He is kind of like God. He's saying, the Bible is saying Jesus is God. And for Jesus to ever act like God and say, I am God, is not robbery, because He is God. You remember, in John, the book of John, Jesus said, I am. As Abraham was, I am. Because Jesus was God. You know what they did? The Pharisees took up stones to beat Him. Because not only was he working on the Sabbath, but He was making Himself, this is what the Bible says, equal with God. He was making Himself equal with God. He had the form of God, and He is the form of God, but he's not robbing God by saying that He is God. Now, when the Word of God uses the word form here, He's using the God's using this word in this idea. That which one senses or envisions of another. All right? And so I'm looking at the form of Will, right? I'm looking at the form of Georgie. What my eyes see, what I can comprehend with my eyes and my senses, that's the form. All right? And so when Jesus said being in the form of God, what's He saying? He's saying that when people see Him, when they sense Him, they are sensing and knowing that's God. But then notice what it says. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant. And so what is He saying? He's saying when people saw Him, when they sensed Him, when they had an understanding based upon their senses of who He was, what did they see? They saw a servant. That's an amazing thing. When Jesus was when He robed Himself in flesh, people saw someone to serve them. He humbled Himself and became a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. People saw a servant. Before Christ entered mankind, what another sensed of Him was nothing but God. When He entered into mankind, all of a sudden, when people saw Him, they said, there's just a man. There's just a man. But understand, this is not the end. Notice the Scripture says, and being found in a fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I just remind you, some of the things that people saw, here was Jesus in the flesh. Here was Jesus born as a man. He was born with no room for Him in the inn, but was placed in a manger with all the animals. We're reminded of Jesus when they went to the temple, when His mom and dad went to the temple to worship. And they left, but Jesus stayed. His parents questioned Him. Why would His parents question Him? Because they saw His flesh. They wouldn't have questioned Him if they saw His deity. They wouldn't have. They would have said, you're God. If you're about your Father's business, so be it. We're not going to say anything. But they questioned Him. He was doubted by John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose primary and sole job upon the earth was to pave the way for Jesus. He was thrown in jail and He sent His disciples to say, Jesus, are You really the one that's supposed to come? What did John the Baptist see? Did he see His deity or His flesh? He just saw His flesh. If he saw the deity of Christ, he would not have questioned. He would have said, Jesus, whatever it is that You do, I'll agree, because You're God. We spoke of Him being rebuked by Martha and rebuked by Peter. He was spit upon. He was hit in the face. He was beaten. He was crucified and buried in a tomb. What did people see? They saw His flesh. They saw His flesh. And they felt entitled to be able to do what they did. But then read. Being found in the fashion of man, verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Now we're going into a different period. I want you to know but what does that period, what does this new mind or this mind of Christ become? It becomes upon his resurrection the same as it was in the Old Testament. When people see him, they bow down and worship him, no matter who it is. He was seen of Mary and Martha. The Marys. Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, what did they do? When they saw him, they worshiped him. When he was seen of Peter and John, what did they do? They worshiped him. Thomas said one Sunday, he said, I won't believe that Jesus is risen from the dead unless I can put my finger in his side, in his hand. The next Sunday comes, there's Jesus. He didn't take his finger and put it in his hand or his side. He said, my Lord and my God. Because he saw him resurrected and glorious. He was seen above 500 people. What did those 500 do? Did they look and say, you know what? That's just a man. No, when they saw him resurrected, they said, there's God. And we will follow him and we will die for him. And that's what they did. And then he was seen of one who was called out in due time, the Apostle Paul. And when he saw Jesus, what did he do? He said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And that's just a moment before he was on his way to kill Christians. He sees Jesus, he worships him. And I want you to know, notice what the Scripture says. Verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What will every person in this age, in this period, in Jesus not being a baby in a manger, and not being one crucified on the cross, but being risen from the dead, what will every person who sees him do? They will bow and they will worship. Those who are saved will bow and worship in the glories of heaven. Those that are unsaved will bow and worship before they're cast into hell. But everybody bows that sees Jesus. I want to ask you this, and we'll close. Who do you see? Who do you see? Do you see Jesus in his flesh? An equal at best, or a servant? Or do you see him as the God of very God? I'd propose to you that we struggle to see him, but we can if we would. We'll see him not in his flesh, but in his deity. And I would beg you, brethren, to not be satisfied with a Christ who's merely flesh, because you will be sorely disappointed and you will find yourself miserable if you think you're equal to him. But say, Lord, you are all in all. You are everything. You're above all, you're better than anything, and I will give my life to do as you would have me to do. Because you're better. You're not flesh like I'm flesh. You are God, and I will come to you. Guess what? Everything we've heard about Jesus, his greatness, his goodness, his love, his light, when we see him, we find out it's all true. It's all true. Let's bow our heads.